All right. Hello, my name's Jesse, and I'm an addict. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Saturday night, April 7th meeting. Please give a warm welcome for our speaker, Brenda R.
Hi, I'm Brenda, and I'm an addict. And just to let you know, I'm not a circus speaker. I am an addict with the same story as you have. And I'm willing to share that with you tonight. Okay? That's what I need you to know. When I got here, I was broken. I was very broken. You know, I was looking at prison time. My husband was definitely getting prison, no getting out of it. My 20-year-old son went to jail with me. And that's how I got here. To give you a little bit of my back experience, I don't do a drug log, I don't like that, but I started using, my first drug I used was 13. It was the liquid one, I didn't like the high. And then I experimented with a lot of stuff. And then I met meth, and it tore my life up. I lived in a garage, not with drywall on it, just a garage. It froze in the wintertime, and you burn up in the summertime. You know, but we had the sack. And, On December 31st, 2001, we were busted. The only charge I didn't have was under the influence because my dope man was late. I had the dope, but I just didn't have time to use it. And what I actually got was a PC-1000 program because I'd never been in any kind of trouble. So that's how I got here. I got here on one of those little invitation cards. And it was the first time I'd ever been in jail. I spent 6 days in central receiving, and that was enough. 12 ladies, all different personalities, and it's like, I don't want to do this, you know, it's like, this is not fun. My mom told me to go to hell. She was not getting me out, she was getting her grandson out. God bless my son. He said, my mom's claustrophobic, please get her out, you know. My mom was very, very angry with me, and today we're really close back, but it took me a long time to get that. I decided that, hey, I can do, to stay out of prison for, you know, 3 years, I can do 18 months of this little program. You know, I can do this. And then I met you people. You know, didn't understand anything you guys were saying. I didn't understand to keep coming back. I didn't really understand the readings except jails, institutions, and death. And I'd been to jail, and I didn't like that, so I thought I'd just skip the institutions and death thing, you know. I heard a lot of stuff. I heard keep coming back and we'll love you till you can love yourself. And I thought that was straight BS because you didn't know me. I was not nice, you know. I could figure out 100 different ways to murder you if you really made me mad. What kept me from doing that was my husband. I was very evil. I was not nice. I didn't know how to be a friend. I didn't know how to be a mother. I really didn't know how to be a wife anymore, but I could use drugs. So when I came in these rooms, I was broken. But deciding to do those little 18 months, you know, I can do this. And then I can do whatever I want to after I stop, right? Well, you know, things started, like, changing because I wasn't using. I wasn't using because they were testing me. And that's the only reason I wasn't using. I didn't come in here with this, oh, I'm going to stay clean thing. I wasn't using because they tested me a lot. But I kept hearing stuff, and I wasn't using, and things started changing. I got a job. I was honest with the lady who was interviewing me that I had to work graveyard, that, you know, because I was on this little program thing. I had to work graveyard. Today I know she hired me to be her connect, and I really quit using. Because, you know, like 2 years later, she was arrested for embezzling $50,000 for dope. Yeah, but I really quit using. Graveyard was really good for me because everybody come in to my store tweaked out. Man, it's like, oh, I look like that. I don't want to look like that anymore. You know? And then the jaw would be moving and, you know, and I got 50 cents. What could I get? Nothing, man. Get out. You know? And it was hard. My husband, like I said, my husband was in prison. I had two boys. My oldest one, who had gone to jail with me, was in the program. And we had to pay for these groups we went to, and we had to pay for testing, and you know, my son would do odd jobs, and of course I started finally getting a check. It's really expensive. And I kept wondering, how did they expect me to do this? You know, I didn't know that they were showing me a different way to live even at that point. But I kept coming to these meetings. And I kept listening, even when I didn't understand. And I took these suggestions that some of them I thought were really stupid. But I took them. And I tried them. I'm not going to lie. If I didn't like them, I kind of like put them back here for a while because it was like that sounded just way too hard. You know? But I took the suggestions. I didn't use in between meetings. I started doing service. Really early I started doing service. And, you know, I believe in those coffee commitments. And if you don't think that's a big commitment, you're wrong. You know? That's a very important, you know, go to a meeting without coffee and see how important a coffee commitment is. You know, come on. But I took commitments and I got involved. Of course, I was out in Wasco and there were no women anywhere with time, and I kept hearing sponsored that. And I thought, well, I didn't really know if I wanted one, but I was one of those suggestions that you get one. And so my first one was for convenience because she lived in the next town. And by this time, I kind of understood a little bit more because I was reading the literature and I was reading the books. And so I got a sponsor and I started working my steps. And, you know, that first one of, when I got here, I didn't know I had a disease of addiction. I had a problem with drugs, you know. So I didn't know about the disease of addiction. I thought, okay, I'm cured. I stopped using. I'm okay. And that's not the way it works for me today. Because I can change my addiction into any direction I want it to go. Because I'm really good like that. And so I'm really careful, you know. Part of my addiction was going to the casino. We ran a lot of dope up that way. And then we used to spend all the money at the casino. And so I don't do that today. Because I feel it was like part of that, you know, that insanity that I was living before I got here. I started working with steps and that powerlessness and that unmanageability. That one I kind of understood, you know. I just got out of jail. My life was kind of unmanageable, you know. I was just getting on my feet. I didn't own a car. I walked to meetings. So my life was kind of unmanageable. A power greater than myself. I was feeling that there's not much greater than me, you know. I'm real honest about that. And then turning my will and life over. You know, I'm kind of a control freak. So turning, you know, my will and my life over to anybody is not really good. And I sure did, but I did all this because I didn't want to turn my will and my life over to the state of California. You know. But when I had 5 months clean, like I said, I got a job at 3 months clean. And at 5 months clean, my eldest son got sick, the one that went to jail with me. Started with a toothache. I took him to the dentist. They gave him pills. They didn't work. I took him back. He called me on the 1st of June, and he died the 8th of June. And this is where, you know, this is where Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't have to pick up the phone. People were just like there. And it really amazed me because, you know, I was in such a state that, you know, that sick thinking that I had of, like, what do you want? You know, what do you think you can get from me now that you're just showing up? Because people in my addiction didn't do that. Unless I had a sack, nobody was there, no matter what happened in my life. And so the people from these rooms just shut up at my house. If I wanted to just sit there, that was fine. If I wanted to cry, they would hold me. If I wanted to laugh, they would talk with me, and, you know, and they were there. They were there at my son's funeral. The hardest thing I ever did was walk in these doors without my son. And you know what? They were the ones that walked in with me. So, you know, look around the room, because the person sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you, could be the one that's going to save your butt one day. I don't believe in quicks. I hug everybody. I take numbers from everybody. Because I don't know who's going to be there when I really need them, you know? But I made it through without using. That's me no matter what. And I don't know even how to... It's my, I was in a daze for a while. I really was. I was in a daze for a while. I went through my days, you know. I had a very healthy son, 6'4", 250 pounds. One day he's fine, the next week he's dead. I buried him 9 days before his 21st birthday. But we survived, you know. We survived. And I survived because the people here loved me enough to come and do for me what I wouldn't do for anyone else at that time. You know? I was just getting a little bit of clarity, the clarity of 5 months. And so then, like I said, things started happening, you know. They were going along, and I'm working the steps, the fourth step. I told my sponsor, hey, I don't think I can do this one. And she goes, no, don't be scared. It's just, you know. And I said, well, I'm not scared. I just didn't have any morals. So how do you do a moral inventory if you don't have any morals? You know, okay, I can think on my feet. That one was like, I read the questions, you know. It's like, oh, man, this is like way too much to tell somebody, you know. But I did it, you know. And she told me it was like kind of like rolling around in a pig pen, you know. We'd been rolling around in this pig pen, and we have poop in our ears and everywhere else. And when we do this, it's like taking a really nice hot shower. And I thought, okay, that's cool. I can do that. I can shower. So, you know, and then to share it, though, then you got to tell somebody. And it's like, oh, no, I like you. I don't know if I trust you enough to tell you all this stuff. Because I had a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. But as I'm working these steps, and my life is changing, and then all of a sudden, I have a little car. You know? A cheap little car with cheap little gas, and yeah, so I could go places. I didn't have to walk anymore. Didn't have to borrow my mom's car anymore. And, you know, I like I said, I'm working these steps, and it took me a couple of weeks to, like, decide to do this, you know, sharing with someone else my story, my stuff. But I did. You know, it felt pretty good. It felt like I had a shower, because I kind of got it all out. And the lady that was my sponsor at the time, you know, she never snarled her nose. She never looked shocked, you know. And there was a couple of times I was waiting for her to tell me to get out of her house. I never killed anyone. Okay, I'm still here, right? I wasn't good enough to bury bodies, so I never killed anyone. I was mean. I would fight at the drop of the hat. I can't tell you how many times I had my butt whooped. Because the person was like way bigger than me, and it's like, I'm not backing down. I was nuts. I mean, I had no, you know, I had no sense of responsibility. I had no, nothing. I was spiritually, morally bankrupt. Nothing. So I didn't care. And as I'm working these steps, I'm starting to care about people, and I'm giving my phone number out, and, you know, And I'm going to places where I didn't think I would go, and I'm talking to people. You know, I hear it's been a lot of meetings. Look around, would you really party with some of the people in this room? You know? No, but we get recovery with people in this room, and I love that. And like I said, my life's changing. At 9 months, we got our own little house. Me and my younger son, we had our own little house, and it was, like, so cool. Because number one, we hadn't lived in a house in a long time. And number two, Grandma wasn't there, like, you know, and he had a little bit of freedom because Grandma was, like, on him all the time. So we had our own little house right across the street from his school, you know, so he couldn't get without me knowing it and stuff. And I'm still working these steps, you know. And then, the shortcomings and the defects. Well, I had a couple, you know, just a couple, yeah. They really stood out, you know. They really stood out. So those I wrote down, and she said, you're kidding, right? And I said, well, no. I thought that was plenty, right? Look, this I know. And she goes, well, let's go back and, like, get a little more thorough with this stuff. And I thought, okay. You know, so I found a couple more. And then I found a couple more. And then I had, like, pages. And I thought, oh, man. And thank God someone, I said, do you think I get new character defects? And someone told me, no, they just morph a little bit, you know? So, yeah. Have I gotten rid of all of them? No, but I got rid of a whole bunch of them. Okay. And asking God to remove them. This isn't hard for me today. I am a Christian today. I am not religious. I'm spiritual, okay? There's a big difference. And that gets me through a lot of stuff. So asking God to remove my defects is really easy for me. Then came making that list. And it's like, okay, I can do this. I had 7 people on there because, you know, most people, they made me mad on their own. It was their fault I did stuff to them. It was, you know, I had nothing to do with it. It had nothing to do with me. You know, they did it. They made me mad. They had defects. They, you know, so I didn't have to make amends to them, you know. And, okay, I take it back, and my sponsor says, you're kidding, right? And I just hated when she said that because it became like a, I said, is that the only thing you can tell me? Are you kidding? And she goes, no, you need to do this. You need to really look into this. Because we had talked about it, so I knew that, you know, there were certain people that made me mad that maybe I owed an amends to. Then I heard that, and I don't get resentments. I try not to get resentments because someone told me, get a resentment. At some point, you have to go and make an amends to that person for having a resentment. Well, they gave it to me. Why do I have to do that? Because it's a suggestion and it works. That's why. The 10th step is making those amends was really hard. Making, going to someone. I sat at the kitchen table with my mother who she has no clue about addiction. None. She has 2 children that are addicts. My father was an addict. I separated him from me, you know, because he was an alcoholic. And I didn't like the liquid drugs. I didn't, it was alcohol. So I separated him. My dad died with 13 years clean, and I didn't take any of that into my heart, you know, because we were different. I used a different substance. And when I got here, I learned that my dad was an addict. And so my mom lived with 3 addicts, basically, and she has no clue. She smoked, she quit, she threw them away, I'm done. You know, she has no addictions whatsoever. So she has no clue. So I sat down with my mom to do my 9th step. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, I think. Because, number one, she has no clue. And number two, you know, to sit and let her tell me how I hurt her. And believe me, moms remember stuff you don't. So when you make that amend, get ready. Because no matter how much you think, how thorough the steps you've done for your mom, it's like, no, she's going to remember stuff. You know? And my mom's got a memory like you would not believe. She's almost 70 and she remembers everything. But to sit at a table, and I let her talk for like, it was close to 2 hours. I let her tell me how bad I had hurt her, how worried she was that she was going to get that phone call that I was dead, that I had overdosed, you know, that she was going to get that call that her grandkids had been taken away. And that right there was, like I said, one of the hardest things I've ever done. But the most cleansing thing I've ever done, you know. And you gotta realize, as I'm working these steps, my life's getting better. Like, I'm getting a raise, you know. These people are giving me a raise. I hadn't had a job in 6 years. A raise was really cool, even if it was 10 cents. And I keep working these steps. There's some people who are on my list that I haven't ran into yet. But someday I'm going to have to make those amends, and some of them are going to be really hard because these are people that I really, really wronged. I have no clue where they are, you know. Someday I'll have to make those amends, though. And I'm ready because today I know how to do that. Today I'm actually human. Today I have a heart. Today I love people. See, I really do love you. I may not know you, but I love you. Because, you know, it could have just as easily been you who saved my butt when my son died. And so when I say I love you, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I say, my life's getting better. I'm working these steps. And then I get to that 10th one. Okay, I do that moral inventory. Today I do it, you know, almost without thinking. I do, because, you know, there's days I'm kind of mean and I have to go home and go, ooh, you were like really mean, you better do something. But, you know, I'd rather take your inventory. It's really easy to take your inventory, you know. I can take my husband's inventory real fast. You know what I mean? You know what she did? Oh, yeah. So it's real easy to take his inventory. Everybody's around me, you know. It's a little harder when I have to take mine. I've been through the steps a couple of times. So you'd think that, you know, my tenth every day would be like a little better. And I am getting a little better. Am I cured? Am I this wonderful Mother Teresa type person? Forget it. I am not. And then that 12th step, you know, having had a spiritual awakening, and I did it, but I really didn't quite understand it the first time I did it, I don't think. Was I more loving? Yes. Did I still have this kind of armor around my heart? Yes. But I kept coming back, and I kept asking questions, and I kept taking suggestions. And then my sponsor, you know, she was gone. So she had to move. And so I needed someone close. So I started going to meetings. Because I don't just pick a sponsor out of the air. You know, the first one I did for convenience. But she was awesome in leading me through the steps. But I go to meetings and I listen, you know. And I found a sponsor. And I've had her for a while. However, I just got rid of her, and I got a new one, because she lied. I don't like that, because I can lie. That honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. When I got here, I was willing, because I didn't want to go to prison. Open-minded, yeah, you people were scary, you know? I was not as bad as you when I got here. You guys did stuff I'd never do, because I wasn't honest either. First thing that popped in my head was a lie. Even if the truth sounded better and would keep me out of trouble, I would lie. So for someone to lie, I just don't, you know, someone like a sponsor to lie. And her explanation was, well, I just misinterpreted. That, you know, it wasn't misinterpretation. It's really hard to have to, like, find another sponsor, you know. And I didn't realize how hard it was today to go up and, you know, ask someone to be my sponsor. But I did it. And I've known this lady since I got into the program, you know. And so she said, sure. And I thought, how cool is that? And now I'm back on the first step, you know. Yeah, which my sponsees just love. Hi, you're back on the first step. I believe in the steps. I believe in this program. If you think you hear a suggestion that just sounds so stupid that you'll never do it, don't throw it away. When I got here, I heard about a toolbox. You know, that they give you this, and my husband was kind of like a mechanic, but, you know, he always had to have that big Craftsman double thing, you know, up here that costs, like, a lot of money. Yeah. And so that's what I think of my NA toolbox. I put everything in there. I put my suggestions and, you know, and I put everything I get in there. Because someday I'm going to have to pull it out, and I'm going to have to use it. Last year, we had an interesting year, you know, and again, it's that no matter what thing. When I lost my son, no matter what, I didn't use. But actually, the reason I didn't use is because there was people from Narcotics Anonymous at my house every night just to sit with me, just to talk with me. They came in shifts so they could cover me, you know. And I love these people, and they're still in my life today. My husband got out of prison, you know, and we started our life together. Thank God, our marriage survived our addiction. It doesn't happen a lot. And, see, my husband used to wear this big red button right here in the middle of his chest, you know, and if when I was mad, that's the one I wanted to punch. You notice I have short hair? That's because he could snatch me by the hair when I punched that button. You know, and I mean, he would snatch me. It was like, man, I got to get rid of this hair. And I did. Yeah, I cut that stuff off. And then I could get down the block way faster than he could. You know, I'd hit that button and I was gone. But he was snatching at the hair and it was gone. And it stays short now. Not because he snatches my head, just because I like it. Now I'm lazy. But, you know, and now we have this, you know, my husband and I don't yell at each other. We have some really good debates. Yeah. You know, but we don't yell, and we don't hit, and we don't, you know, he no longer has that big red button. He has a baby red one, though, you know. He's got a little baby one, but it's not as big as the other one. And our kids don't see us fight. Because we don't have to anymore. We can tell each other exactly how we feel. No one gets hit. You know, he can sleep at night because he was bigger than I was. You know, I waited until he got to sleep, went to sleep. He'd wake up with bruises. He'd, you know, especially if he's out of dope, you could pretty well beat him up pretty good. He wasn't moving. He'd be out of dope. But today we have a very loving relationship. You know, we do everything together. 3 years ago, our middle, we are a blended family. We had 4 sons together. He had 2 and I had 2. Our middle son now, he came home. I want to get clean, had nowhere to go. Okay, you can come here. Dad was still on parole, though, so there was lots of rules. No dope, no paraphernalia. You know, you go by the rules and you get out. That's the way our house is run today. And I got up one morning and there was this little funny-looking lunchbox that kind of disappeared when I walked in the room. And so I told Dad, hey, little lunchbox disappearing. Come on, I'm an addict. I'm not stupid. When I got straight, I didn't lose all that, you know, stuff. And there was a torch and a pipe. There was nothing in the pipe, but there was a torch and a pipe. My husband was looking at 5 years if he went back. So we told him, you got to get out. For 8 months, we did not know where our son was. We didn't know if he was dead. We didn't know if he was alive. No one knew. His real mom didn't know. We didn't know. His grandma didn't know. He was just out there. He called home. About 8.5 months after he left, he said, I have 30 days clean. And he was supposed to come. And we took him in. He celebrated 3 years, March 1st. Yeah. I'm proud of him. Yeah. He's doing wonderfully. Married a beautiful young lady that I love, and she brought with her 2 grandbabies. I'm a grandma today. You know, I can't tell you what it feels like when these little creatures come to my work, you know, and it's like, Grandma, and that's me. And I'm there to participate in their life. And we have another one on the way. You know, this is what this program has brought me. Last year, I'm sorry, but I'm jumping around. It's like some of these things just overwhelm me, you know, the love I get from the rooms, the life I've gotten from these rooms, it just overwhelms me sometimes. Last year, we went to the convention. My husband was working, and he put in his time at the convention and worked graveyard, and I think it was a week, maybe it was the second weekend after the convention, he had a heart attack, massive heart attack. He flatlined twice. You have to understand, when my son died, I heard his code blue. When my husband flatlined, thank God my daughter-in-law was sitting next to me and I didn't hear his code blue. I got called outside and they had us in what they called the bubble. It was this glass room up, you know, by the cath lab. And this lady calls me out, and I'm thinking, okay, she's a doctor, and I'm sitting there talking to her, and she had on this little thing with her ID on there. And what I noticed was her little thing said, chaplain. And when I saw this, my knees just turned to water, you know. I started sinking, and from somewhere this male nurse came up, and he put his hand in the middle of my back and kind of stood me up, and he goes, he's okay. He's back. So he put this heart pump in him, and he was in intensive care, and he had burns all over his body where they had shocked him 5 times to bring him back. I made 2 phone calls that day on the way to the hospital. I called my church family, and I called my NA family. I was never alone at the hospital. This is what Narcotics Anonymous is. I was never, ever alone. I had people that would come just to make sure I ate that day. I had people that came just to get me out of the hospital for a little while, because I actually had to continue working, you know, during all this. They would come and check on me. The first 3 days, I was pretty well at the hospital. About the third day, we have the whole room, the waiting room, you know, in intensive care, and And he's feeling kind of good, and I'm telling him, you know, there's a lot of people here, there's love and prayers, and I was telling him who was there, and he said, well, I'd like to see him. So I asked the nurse, I said, well, we have family here, you know, do you think they could come back a couple at a time? And she asked me, she said, well, how are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling good. I said, okay. So for about 2 hours, two at a time, you know, our family went back, and everyone pretty much got to see him. And she told my husband, you know, because it was all colors, sizes, you know what I mean, that we're not quite an anonymous family, right? And she goes, yeah, there's a big family. And my husband says, you have no idea, you know. We went through open heart surgery. We, meaning he got the pain and I got the heartache. You know, that's the scariest thing I've ever had to go through with my husband is his open heart surgery. He came through it really good. Next morning they called me and said, you can come in and see him. He's sitting up, I thought, in a bit. He was sitting up in a chair. He still had this huge tube out of his neck. He looked horrible. They would not let me feed him. He had to feed himself. And I couldn't cry because, you know, he needed my strength at that time. But when I walked out into the hallway, you people were there waiting to give me all your strength and all your hope. He came home. We had really good meetings in his hospital room. I mean, really good meetings. The nurses finally said, well, we were on the fourth floor at that time, the surgical floor, and the nurse said, well, you can only have this many in here. And I said, okay. If so many people would come up, she just finally said, never mind, he's in that room. And we made it through that, you know. He came home, he got staph infection. I found out I'm a really good nurse. I also found out we looked like a steak inside because they cut a hole in his leg that was like knuckle deep, top knuckles up here, not these down here. And I had to stuff it with like these gauze, you know. So, if I could do that, he wouldn't have to come home on, you know, didn't have to stay in the hospital longer, didn't have to come home on IVs and stuff if I was able to do that. And I found out I could do that because I love him that much, and you people told me I could. Then, after staff, which knocked him off his feet for another 8 weeks, both our cars were hit in front of our house. Mine was a little bit crumpled, but you have to understand about my car. I was able to get this to my car. I love my little car. It's a little Grand Am. I bought it brand new. Took everything I had to buy it brand new, okay? And I love my little car. I've always wanted one. Has a lot of road noise to it. My husband points out all the time when we're like going somewhere a long ways away. But I love this little car. And they crumpled my car. Of course, they like totaled my husband. And hit and run. Of course, we have full coverage on my car. We just had PLPD, uninsured motorist. And I'm going to tell you something about uninsured motorists, people. They have to have the uninsured motorist before it kicks in. We didn't have that. You see, this is how God works in my life today. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, this guy shows up with a little piece of paper, and he says, I couldn't stop this morning because I was on my way to work, but I was behind the guy that hit you, and here's his license plate number. And I'm thinking, God is good. So both our cars were fixed. They, of course, hauled my husband's off, and we bought another car, you know. But I have insurance today. How cool is that? I have legal tags today. I remember when my husband used a Marlboro carton in 2001 when they were red. Marlboro carton. Yeah. Hey, it worked, man, for 5 months before they impounded the car. That car was probably worth about $32,000, and originally we paid like $900 because we'd always go bail it out when it got taken in. One time they stopped us, I think it was yellow that year, and because another officer had pulled it off. So this lady stopped us, and she goes, you don't have tags on your car? And he goes, my husband bails out the car. Sure I do. And there's a little corner of the yellow. And he goes, look, someone stole my tag. And she goes, well, I'm going to let you go, but you go ahead tomorrow and go get a new tag. I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, going to jail. We had a car full of dope. And he just was so, like, nuts. But today I have those legal tags. I have insurance. That's why my car got fixed. You know? I have not wonderful great credit, but I have good credit. It took me a long time to pay it off. But I'm going to give you some advice on credit. Anybody have bad credit in here? Anybody? Oh, yeah. Okay. This is what happened. I went in to talk to this guy, and I was explaining about my credit. You know, hey, this is really bad. I'll never be able to pay this crap off. I was in debt, people. I didn't pay nothing. I didn't, you know, why bother? I took away from my dope money. So he goes, well, this is what you do, because, you know, several collection companies had my stuff. And they had a lot of my stuff. And he said, well, you call this one, and you tell them, because it was almost income tax time, and you tell them I have this amount of money in my hand. I will pay this off if you will accept it. If not, I'm going on vacation. And I'm sitting there, you know, smiling. Okay, I'll do that. I got outside and told my husband, is he stupid? You know, that's not going to work for me. But we talked about it for a couple of days, and my husband talked me into calling. You know, he didn't call. He was going to let me be the stupid one. So I call, yeah, exactly. So, you know, yeah. So I get home, and I, you know, a couple of days later, I call, and I wait until he got home from work, because we were going to be stupid together on this one. And so I call this guy, and I said, okay, and you have to remember, this is like $10,000, $12,000 of the debt I'm talking about, all of these things that this one company has, $10,000, $12,000. And I said, look, I just got my income tax. I have this much money in my hand. I think it was like $3,000, $4,000, and it was all my income tax. But it's like, I have this money in my hand. I'm willing to pay this off if you'll accept it. He goes, well, I can't do that, but, you know, we could pay these off. No, that time he told me no. The next time he called me back, and he goes, we can pay the big ones off, and then apply as much of this to the little ones, and then you make payment. I said, excuse me, do you see my credit? I don't do well with payments. I don't make them. Don't give them to me. So he said, well, I can't do that. And I said, okay, I'm going on vacation. You know, I felt so stupid every time I said that. Then 2 days later, he calls me back and he goes, can you come up with $200 more? And I said, I can. And I got rid of that debt. For, I think it was like $3,800 is what I actually paid. And I had him send me a list of everything he was going to let me pay off. And I sent him a certified check. Then I had another one that was like, I don't know, it was like $1,200. I got off on that one for like $311 because she said, can you come up with $11 more? I said, yes, I can. I can do that. You know? So it's been paid off for like about 3 years, you know? But I was able to get a small loan. And I couldn't do that before. And my credit comes back pretty good today. I mean, they're not going to give me like $20,000, but, you know, that's going to be a couple thousand when I need it. And I make those payments today. I'm about $125,000, $35,000 in medical debt. I don't use over this. I pay them all $25 a month. I send out about 10 checks of $25 a month. Why? I don't know if I'll ever pay this off, but that's what I do today. Because you people told me to. You know, that's what happens. We get our cars fixed. Everything's going along fine. In August, my 17-year-old decides, you know, he's going to go off the hook on drugs. He steals from his grandma. He stole from us. He wasn't a real good, you know. He got caught every time. Every time. He didn't get away with anything. So, but this was like breaking my heart. Now I know how my mom felt. Now I understood what I did to my mom. Because my kid was breaking my heart. And stealing my money. This is not good. I work very hard for my money. And I budget my money very well. You know. There's always a tiny bit in the bank before the next check goes in there. And I work very hard at that. And these sheriffs and stuff would release him to me, spun out, and that's not what I wanted. My son was going to die, you know. Why don't you take him in and, you know, keep him? Okay. And they wouldn't. So what I did was I had to have him arrested. I had to go before a judge and cry to have him arrested. Hardest thing I've ever done, because I had to take him out of the hospital to take him there because he had his appendix out. I had surgery in November. This is where all of our hospital debt comes out. But I had it really cool because I was only there like 2 days, and then for 7 weeks I got to attend all kinds of NA meetings because I didn't have to work. Yeah, it was really cool. I'd load up my car with sponsees and away we'd go. See, that's what I am today. I'm a sponsor today. I am a sponsee today. I'm a wife today. I'm a mother today. I'm a daughter today. I'm a grandma today. And that's the coolest one, yeah. My babies are there today. I do stuff like I teach Awanas at church because my grandbabies are in there. I get to do that today. I show up when I'm supposed to. And I still attend meetings regularly of Narcotics Anonymous. And I have to tell you, I love you for showing up today. You know, it's such an honor when I get to share. And if I touch one person, that's what I'm here for. If there's only one person that showed up, that was okay. Because someone showed up for me. So if you're new here, take suggestions, work these steps, they'll save your life, and they will free you. They give you this freedom because you got all this. I had a lot of baggage, man. I had a couple of baggage cars. Not that I got rid of all of it, but most of it. So if you're near, stick around. Use the people around you, not the way you do in your addiction, but use them for the love and the knowledge and, you know, the spirituality that they have. Just don't go out there and die. Do we die in Narcotics Anonymous? Yes. Usually from the diseases we got while we were out there. But do we OD in Narcotics? No. You know. That's why numbers take numbers. Get numbers. Give numbers. You know what I mean? This is an awesome program. It saved my life. And today I'm a very kind and loving person. You know? I don't hit anyone today. I don't cuss anyone today. You know? I do hang up on sponsees every once in a while, but they tell me I could do that. I asked. But, you know, get a sponsor, you know. Connect with the people in this room. Because they're going to be there for you. I can promise you, someone was there for me. Every time. Not just once. Not just twice. Every time. They were there when my son was arrested. They were there when my husband was sick. They were there when I was sick. They were there. Everyone was there. So connect. Use this program. And I want to thank you so much for letting me share. My name is Brenda and I'm an addict.
Can we give another hand for our speaker, please? All right. Thank you, Brenda. So that was not so bad. Alrighty then. Alright, that's all the time we have. I'd like to thank you all for attending. May we have a treasurer's report.
My name is John, your Duke Treasurer. Okay, we had an old balance of 34.27. We spent $10.73 for coffee and supplies. Seven suggestion basket took in $18.13, left us as a grand total of $41.67. Let's only give our speaker another round of applause, please. And anytime you guys are smoking outside, somebody just said this earlier, but I stepped in gum right outside the front door, so spit your gum in the trash, throw your cigarettes in the butt can. That'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you. That's all I got.
So my name is Jesse, and I'm an addict. Thank you all for coming also, and I hope you all have a great and happy Easter, safe Easter. Will an addict please read just for today and close with a third step prayer.
That hurt. I'm Cheyenne, and I'm a blessed recovery addict. You know, I have the greatest sponsor in the world. You know that? Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life.
Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.